Amen.
Somebody said the devil reminds you of your past. Remind him of his future. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn this morning, the Word of God, to the book of Psalm, the 37th Psalm. If you'll turn there with me this morning, Word of God. As you preach, you of course, as a pastor, you preach several times a week. And if I preach other places, I preach more than that. But, you know, and you're many times we're in a series. We just finished a series. We're not in a series now. But many times we're in a series. Sometimes we're not. But I think, anyway, some of the best messages, I'm not talking about glorifying man, but I'm just saying some of the messages that help me the most is the ones, of course, that build out of a devotional life. And that's kind of what this morning, as the Lord, just starting back the first of the week, began to deal with me about this passage of Scripture. And so we trust it's what the Lord has for us this morning. We'll start reading in verse number 1. If you're there with me, say amen. Verse number 1 of Psalms 37. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to stand in this place. We pray this morning you'd help us. I pray you'd bind the powers of Satan, Lord, that he would not get an advantage on the service today. God, we pray this morning you'd help me to say everything that needs to be said, but nothing that does not. I pray you cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. I acknowledge my need of you. I realize without you I'm nothing. And I pray this morning you'd use me as your vessel to minister to the hearts of the hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the course of a conversation, there was a little girl who, at a dinner party, she got to speak to Albert Einstein. It was a young neighbor of hers, and she asked the Albert Einstein, the white-haired scientist, she says, what are you actually by profession? In other words, what is it that you do? What are you by profession? He said, I devote myself to the study of physics. The little girl was astonished, and she looked at him, this old white-haired man, and she said, you mean to tell me you still study physics at your age? She said, man, I got out of that a year ago. In our text this morning, there's a beautiful picture of the progression of the Christian life. It's amazing that many times we believe that when we get saved, that's all there is. We believe it stops right there. That sadly, tragically this morning, that's the way that many people view is just the Christian life is just, that's the beginning and the end. But that's not true at all, based on the Word of God. There, the psalmist gives us some wonderful truths regarding the Christian life. In fact, when we go through the passage, what you'll find out is there's a progression with this thing. This Psalm 37 here is an instructional psalm. It's not many psalms are praise psalms. We know that. Many of them are about praising, worshiping the Lord. We love those psalms. But this particular psalm is a maskil, I believe they call it, in the Jewish world, but it is a instructional psalm, and it's something where he's given instruction, and so that's exactly what we're seeing this morning in the book of the 37th psalm here, okay? And so it's a beautiful picture of the progression of the Christian life, and he gives us some wonderful truths regarding the Christian life. Nobody wakes up one day and they're a giant. Nobody wakes up one day and they automatically are where they need to be in their Christian life, but it's a systematic thing. There's a progression that builds. The Bible puts it this way in Peter. Peter said, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a group of tourists one time in a little old town. It was a small town. It was an old town, and there was an old man there. And they asked the old man, they said, is there any great people, is there any great men born in this town? The old man looked at him, he said, no, only babies. The truth of the matter is this morning, there's no great men that's ever been born of God. And we're all born babies, we're all born the same way, just like you're physically born a baby and you got to grow up, we're spiritually born babies. And can I tell you, when you're spiritually born, that means you're alive. The natural thing for anything that's alive to do is to grow. You don't grow, there's going to be a problem. If you don't grow, then there's some other things going to outgrow your body. And so you have to grow. When you don't, that there's conditions named for that. So you have to grow. This morning, for the next few moments, I just want to preach on this simple thought, how to become a Christian. I want to emphasize that word become, how to become a Christian. Now, as we stand here this morning, I am becoming, and I don't like to admit, I am becoming bald. Praise God, I'm not there yet. Amen. Hey, we get an amen out of that anyway. I'm not there yet. Amen. I'm becoming bald. You see, you're not there yet. I'm not there yet. Oh, listen, Paul said, not that I have attained, but I press toward the mark. We ought to be pressing toward that mark to becoming the people that God wants us to be. Amen? And so I'm going to give you several things this morning on how to become a Christian. Number one, as we look at our text, I want you to notice, become converted. We got to become converted. Notice verse number 3 with me again. The Bible says here, watch this, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Our conversion involves several things. When you think about being saved, when you think about being converted, say, what are you talking about? Well, there was a man that went to Jesus one day, and he asked Jesus how he could inherit eternal life. And the man looked at Nicodemus, and he said this, you must be born again. Amen. You must be born just like you were born physically. You've got to be born spiritually. You see, every one of us, when we were born spiritually dead. That is, our spirit had no life in us because we're sinners. We're all fallen creatures, and so we have to be born again. There are several things involved in being converted. Notice here he says, trust in the Lord. Number one, it involves, watch this, a change in perspective. It involves a change in perspective. The psalm also tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Watch this. Lean not unto thine own understanding. To be converted, it involves a change in perspective. What are you talking about? He said, lean not unto thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord. You want to tell you one of the greatest days of my life? It's the day I realized that God's way was a whole lot better than my way. One of the greatest days in my life was the time that I recognized and realized I can't make it on my own. I can't be good enough, long enough, hold on or hold out. There's nothing good I can do to get to God. But the greatest day in my life is when I had a new perspective, and I got to come through the blood of the cross. You see, in Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says this, come now. God says, come now. It's an invitation. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know what God's saying there? He's not saying, when he says, come now, let us reason together, he's not saying, come sit down at a table and we're going to have this intellectual debate about this. Oh, no, God says, we're going to reason that I'm right and you're wrong. You know what we've got to do? We've got to come and admit to God, you're right and I'm wrong. My way's not working. Your way will work, and I'm going to do it your way. A conversion, it involves a change in perspective. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding. Not only that, it involves not only a change of perspective, but conversion involves a change of position. Thank God it does. Child of the King, I'm a child of... Thank the Lord, it involves a change of position. When I get saved, when you get saved, you know what? We become sons of God. We become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That conversion, it involves a change in position. I'm no longer a sinner bound on my way to hell, but thank God I'm a saint on my way to heaven. And it's not because I'm so good, it's because God's so good and He's done it all. Jesus Christ died for my sin. He died for your sin. And when we trust what He did upon the cross as payment for our sin and receive Him as Lord and Savior, thank God we get a new position in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And there's a new position, friend. And because there's a new position, can I tell you this? There ought to be some new direction for our life. Because we're new creatures, because there's a new position, listen, John put it this way, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Listen, there's a new position that comes with the conversion. Not only that, but thank God, there's a change in our perspective, there's a change in our position, and there's a change in our eternal place. We're going to heaven. When we trust in the Lord with all our heart, His conversion takes place. I want you to notice the second thing in this psalm. Not only become converted, he says, but become consumed. Look with me at verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now he's just told you to trust in the Lord. Trust in what He's done at Calvary for salvation. Look, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I said earlier that some people, all Jesus is to them is a ticket out of hell. It's just like you get saved and that's it. Just leave it right there. And can I tell you this? Oh, listen, the truth is Jesus wants it to be so much more than that. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. You see, it's one thing to trust the Lord for salvation, but it's one thing for the Lord to become your delight. That's what he's talking about. Delight thyself. If you say, I'm delighted about this or I'm delighted about that, it's something that gives you joy. It's something that gives you delight. It's something that brings joy to your life when you say, I'm delighted. He tells us that what we ought to be delighted about is the Lord. Are you delighted about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your everything? Is He the listen, is Jesus the reason that you get up in the morning? Is He the reason that you go through your day? You remember when you first got saved? Boy, you couldn't wait to get that Bible. You couldn't wait to listen to that music. And the preacher knows because he gets call after call. And we don't mind it. You're just soaking up the Word. Delight thyself. Oh, the psalmist in Psalms 27, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is the Lord your light? We know He's your salvation, but is He your strength? You see, we're told to delight ourselves. We ought to become consumed with the Lord. The reason I believe many times our Christian life is lethargic and never grows and never progresses and never goes anywhere because we never put Christ the right place in our life. Listen, He died for me. Thank God I'm glad I'm not going to hell. And it's not because what I've done, but it's because what God's done. And what we need to understand is He ought to be our light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Other places the psalmist said, the Lord's my shield. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my refuge. Listen, He's my light in a dark world. He's my life in a dead world. He's my shield in the battle. He's my shepherd in the valley. He's my rock in shifting sands. He's my refuge when we need a place to hide. I've delighted myself in Him. Therefore, He's become everything to me. I wonder this morning, have you become consumed with the Lord? Tragically, too often times, He's just simply a get-out-of-jail-free card, get-out-of-hell-free card for most of us. Not only does He want to become our Savior, but He wants to become our sufficiency. Who's the Lord to you? We're told to delight ourselves also in the Lord. Not just salvation, but sufficiency. God wants to be our sufficiency. He wants us to delight ourselves in Him. John 4:14, the Bible says this, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Can I tell you this? You know what? One of the reasons that we are so needy people, one of the reasons that we're never satisfied, one of the reasons that we can't ever find contentment is because of the fact we hadn't found delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we find it in Him, we don't need anything else. We don't need all these other things coming down the pike. Thank God He says, "He whosoever drinks of this water shall never thirst." Can I tell you this? He's enough. Oh, listen, I've had times in my life where literally speaking, I know many of you as well, you get to that place where all you have is the Lord. You get to that place where it seems everybody's turned your back. You get that place where maybe you don't have the finances and maybe you don't have the security and maybe you don't have anything else. Thank God you've got the Lord. And you know what I found out in those times? He's enough. He's enough. Enjoy the Lord. Make the Lord your delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I wonder how many of us have become consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just like when you get married, you ought to become consumed with that person, or at least they ought to be part of your life, and you make them part of your daily life. Have you made the Lord part of your daily life? The psalmist said in Psalm 116, "I love the Lord." I love it when it starts out like that. I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord this morning? I love the Lord. Listen to what he says. He began to think about what all the Lord's done for him. Psalm 116, he says, "Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The plains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." And he goes on talking about how much he loves and admires and is consumed by the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to become consumed with the Lord. Well, we're consumed with everything and anything except what we ought to be consumed about, consumed with. Some people delight in their wealth. He says, delight in the Lord. But there's many people that delight in their wealth. And that's what delights them. That's what carries them through the day. That's what makes them get up in the morning. That's what keeps them going. It's that money. It's that wealth. Some people delight in their possessions and in their belongings. Maybe it's some motorcycle, or maybe it's some vehicle, or maybe it's their house, or maybe something else, whatever it is. But they're delighting in some possession. And that's the thing that makes them continue to go on. That's the thing that gets them up. That's the thing that keeps them going, is those possessions. Some people delight in many in their animals or many other things. Nothing wrong with having any of these things. But can I tell you this, friend? Our delight, the thing we're consumed with, oh, the thing that we have to draw near to, ought to not be those things, but it ought to be the Lord. He ought to be the delight of our life. The psalmist in Psalm 43:4 said this, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy." Is God your exceeding joy? My exceeding joy. "Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee." In the 104th Psalm, verse 34, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." Are you glad in the Lord? He not only says, delight yourself in the Lord. Notice what else he says there. "Delight thyself also in the Lord," verse 4. "And he will give thee the desires of thine heart." This verse, this passage, but especially this verse, has led me a lot. This verse right here is the reason I'm in the ministry today. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart." I don't have time to go through all the story with it, but I can tell you this verse means a lot to me. What's he saying? He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. He's not talking about the fleshly, carnal desires that we have. Well, if I delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me a new car, he'll give me the new... That's not what he's talking about. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart." Listen, you fall in love with the Lord Jesus, and an amazing thing will begin to happen as you do. His desires will become your desires. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Can I tell you this? And I serve in the Lord in many capacities. I didn't have any desire to preach, didn't have any desire to pastor. I was running a business. Most of you know the story. But I was delighting myself in Him. And as I continued to delight myself in Him and more delighted myself in Him, you know what He did? He gave me the desires of my heart. He made His desires my desires. Oh, it's an amazing thing how that happens, how His desires will become your desires. You know why we don't desire to do very much for God? We're not delighting in Him. Oh, listen, the Bible says, where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. Where are you giving all your time to? What are you giving all your money to? What are you giving all your affection to? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Philippians 2:13 says this, for it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Listen, I want to tell you something. It's God that's got to take our life and do with it what He wants to do. We got to allow Him to do that. He's the one that gives us the desire, and He's the one that gives us the wherewithal. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do. When asked how to know the will of God for your life, Augustine answered like this. He said, love God with all your heart and do whatever you want. You get that? Love God with all your heart and then do whatever you want. Because, friend, can I tell you this? If you love God with all your heart truly, you're going to want to do what He wants you to do. If you love God with all your heart, the desires that you have are not going to be these fleshly, carnal, worldly desires that we have. Love God with all your heart and then do whatever you want. It begins with becoming consumed. Delight ourselves also in the Lord. Become consumed with the Lord. You'll be amazed at the direction your life will take. The more you grow in the Lord, the more, listen, there's nobody in the ministry today that did not at some point in their life have to get to the place where they become consumed by the Lord, where they become, and Jesus was everything to them. They got up thinking about Jesus. They went to bed thinking about Jesus. They went through their day thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you become consumed with Him, what happens, thank God, is He becomes consumed in you. And what happens is we get the desires of our heart. It's all part of becoming the Christian God wants us to be. We get saved. Then we delight ourselves in Him. We become converted. Then we become consumed. I want you to notice the third thing. Become committed. Talking about the progression of the Christian life, how to become a Christian. Become committed. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Can I say this to you this morning? One of the number one things that's wrong with Christianity today is a lack of commitment. Amen? One of the number one, listen, in your Christian life, in my Christian life, one of the number one things that's wrong is a lack of commitment. Somebody somewhere, listen, this morning has got to make a decision deep down inside that simply says, I'm committed to God. Even in those times when you don't feel the warm, fuzzy feelings, even those mornings where you get up on the wrong side of the bed, you know what I'm talking about because some of y'all did this morning. Even in those times, listen, where you don't feel like serving God, even when the joy and the gratitude that comes from when you're delighting in Him is not enough to keep you going, is not enough to keep you faithful, that there's a commitment that you've made deep down inside that'll keep you going when nothing else will keep you going. Why? Because I'm committed to Him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We need to make a commitment. There needs to be, sometimes, listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. Most of you, and I think, I've got a great marriage. Nothing wrong, as far as I know. We got a great marriage. And many of you, I believe, got a great marriage. But the truth of the matter is, you know what marriage is? It's a commitment. And the thing that will keep you married when nothing else will sometimes is the commitment. I'm committed to this person. Things, she didn't cook my eggs right. She doesn't cook me eggs anymore. I'm still committed. She does. She does. I'm still committed. It's a commitment. Listen, there's got to be something. I wonder this morning, have you truly committed your way to Him? Or are you just wishy-washy? Are you just one of those people that sometimes you'll do it? Are you just one of those people that sometimes you serve God? Are you still on shaky ground? Or have you made up your mind this morning that no matter what comes my way, I'm going to serve God? My physical condition is not going to change that. Whether I'm sick or whether I'm healthy, I'm going to serve God. Oh, my popularity or my unpopularity. Popularity is not going to change. Some people are only in. You remember one old country song said, I was country when country wasn't cool. Hey, listen, that ought to not change. The winds of time and the winds of the seasons that change constantly shouldn't change the fact whether or not you're committed to the Lord. There ought to be a commitment down deep in your heart. My physical condition is not going to change it. My popularity is not going to change it. My poverty or wealth is not going to change it. My predicament or problems is not going to change it. My position or lack thereof is not going to change it. Thank God, I'm just glad to be a worker in the Master's vineyard. I'm committed to Him, and I've made a commitment. He said, commit thy way unto Him. Have you made a decision, Christian? Whether I feel like it or not, well, like what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No, he didn't make a commitment. He made a commitment. Well, we need some Christians that'll just make a commitment. I'm talking, listen, we live in a world where they're in one day, out the next, on one day, off the next, cold one day, hot the next. God help us! There's something worth being committed to. It's the Lord. He saved us, brought us up out of a devil's hell, set our feet on a solid rock, established our going, put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, fear, and trust in the Lord. If there's anything, can I tell you this morning, you ought to be committed to, it's Jesus Christ. We live in a world where there's not much commitment. It's a progression, conversion. Consummation. We become consumed with the Lord. We become committed to the Lord. Notice the rest of verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Watch this. Trust also in Him. And this isn't talking about necessarily trusting Him for salvation. This is talking about trusting Him in our salvation. Trusting Him for everyday cares. It's talking about when we have committed our way to the Lord. Don't worry about the other things. Just trust the Lord. He says, look, we've got the salvation, and now we become consumed, and now we've become committed. You just trust the Lord. Health or wealth, famine or feast, in good times and bad, come hell or high water, we can trust Jesus Christ. The Bible's saying, well, here while we're keeping and holding on to that commitment, through those hard times, trust in the Lord. You see, He's reminding us that we're not in this thing alone. He wants to encourage us. I'm glad God doesn't just leave us here. He save us and leave us here to figure it out on our own. Amen. Thank God I'm glad He's with us and He walks with me and He talks. You know what He says? While you're being committed, while you're being consumed, after you've been converted, just trust in me. Just trust in me. He doesn't just leave us here to figure it out for ourselves. Oh, we're not in it alone. But when we've committed our way to Him, we've determined our home is going to be a home that serves Him. We're sold out to Him. Here God says, you can trust me. But I found out you can. Oh, listen. Even in those times where it seems like God's not there, even in those times where you think He just went out to pasture somewhere, even those times where it feels like you're praying and the windows of heaven are brass, you know what I've learned in my years of serving God? Even when you can't trace God, you can still trust God. He's faithful and He'll always be there for you. You can trust me, He says. I want you to notice a final thing this morning. We need to become converted. We need to become consumed. We need to become committed. A part of becoming a Christian, once you do that, become contented. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest. Isn't that wonderful? It begins in verse number 3. Trust in the Lord. 4. Delight in the Lord. 5. Commit in the Lord to the Lord. Then 7. rest in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Friend, when we've done these things in our Christian life, and there's a rest, there is a peace. I'm not working for my salvation. I'm working because of my salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon me my load's easy, my burden's light. Aren't you glad that you and I, once we've done what the Lord's told us to do, and here, when we live the Christian life He wants us to live, after we've been converted, and we truly the Lord, we say, I love the Lord, and we become consumed with Him in our life, and then there's a commitment that's made, that just cause the kids sick, not going to take five of us to stay at home and blow their nose. There's a commitment. We're going to be at church, and we're committed to the Lord. We're going to be at revival meeting. We're going to be at Sunday night. We're going to be at Wednesday night Bible study. We're coming to the missions conference. We're coming to whatever. Thank God we got faithful people. But I'm saying, once we've done these things, there's a contentment. We can become contented. Rest in the Lord. I see going through my everyday life, and as I talk to people, minister to people, and counsel with people, I'm talking about in Christian circles. There are very, very few people who truly have the rest this is talking about. Very few people, even as Christians, who truly have this kind of rest. They're toiling, they're laboring, they're doing all they can because they're doing all they can instead of trusting in what He can. Instead of just surrendering their all on the altar of sacrifice. You know, there's something the Bible tells us, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. At least the song tells us, take your burdens. The Bible tells us to take our burdens to the Lord and leave it there. So many times, you know what we do? We bring them down, we pick them back up and carry them back with us. God wants to give us rest. You're never going to have rest when your life's all about you. Never. You're never going to have rest when you're trying to carry everything on your own. And you haven't. You're never going to have rest. You wonder why you stay convicted all the time if you're truly saved and you're not serving God. There's going to be the Holy Ghost going to be beating on you all the time. If you're truly saved, listen, if you can just get out and live any way you want in the world and God not get around to you, you better check up whether or not you're saved. Because, the Bible tells me, as a father chastens his children, so will I chasten mine. In fact, he said this. He said it talks about chastisement, whereof all are partakers. And he says, if there be no chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. You've never been born again. You're not a child of the King. The reason we don't have rest, many times there's not a commitment. Man, just flippantly serve God. We've not made that commitment. We're not consumed with the Lord. Become content. He says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. You know what's amazing? He tells you that again at verse number one, fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know what's amazing? We worry so many times about these people, that they're not living right, they're not doing right, that they seem to have it so much better than me. Read Psalm 73, it's all throughout it. And we think, well, they're not serving God, they're not doing right, they're not living right. How is it that they have it so good and I have it so? It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. In verse 7, he says, don't worry about these people who prospereth in their way. You know what's amazing when we rest in the Lord? What's amazing when we've consumed ourselves in the Lord and committed our way to the Lord and, of course, obviously first become converted by the Lord? What's amazing is this rest. We don't care about what other people's doing. I could care less about whoever the huge Fortune 500 company that's made billions of dollars this year and how they got it, and they got it dishonestly. Honestly, I don't care. Thank God I'm having the time of my life serving Jesus. Amen? We can rest in the Lord. One lady tells a story about her daughter. She says, my daughter taught swimming lessons in our pool. She always left the line up, separating the deep end from the shallow. You know that line's got the little balls when it goes across, separates the deep from the shallow. She always left that up when she would give her lessons until her students got familiar with the pool. She said after a week of lessons and the children were swimming, she knew that they were ready for a deeper level. To acclimate them to this, she would take down the line separating the two levels. Usually this would make the students very nervous. One boy in particular one day remarked this. He says, "Miss Tanny, please put the line back up. The deep water is getting in with the shallow water." Now we laugh at this, but the fact of the matter is we're no different. God challenges us on a daily basis for us to grow and try to urge us to get out of our comfort zone, urge us to allow Him to bring things into our life. He tries to urge us as He brings things into our life to grow and to move forward and take that next step. But we say, "But Father, the deep water's getting into the shallow water." God never intended for us to get saved, and as several have said, just to sit soaking sour. But God expects for us to grow. It's the natural thing to do. I wonder this morning, are you converted? Have you trusted in the Lord for your salvation? You say, "But my papa's a preacher." Doesn't matter. You say, "But my daddy's a deacon." Doesn't matter. You say, "But I'm a member of a church." Doesn't matter. He said, trust in the Lord. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way, friend, for their salvation. There is no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is the only way. Your good works won't get it done. Your good name won't get it done. Your great riches won't get it done. It's only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." I'm glad this morning the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Are you trusting in the Lord? Have you been converted? And then have you been consumed? Have you become consumed in your Christian life? Let me ask you something. Can you get up and go through the morning and go through your day and even through the night without ever one time talking to the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I tell you this? I promise you this. When you start dating that girl, when you start dating that boy, whoever you're married to, or maybe you're still dating, whatever the case is, I'll promise you, you didn't then and you still don't now. You became consumed. How much more the one that drug us out of the pit, the one that set us up on the rock, how much more ought we be consumed with Him? Are you consumed? And then, are you committed? Has there been a commitment? Somebody says, "Well, preacher, I made a commitment to serve the Lord and I've kind of slacked off on that. I've kind of felt..." I'm glad He's the God of second chances. I'm glad He's not like us. Well, somebody says they'll do this, they don't do it, we're done with them. I'm glad He's long-suffering, not willing any should perish, right? But He's also long-suffering to His children, and He gives us chance after chance after chance. The story is told about Andrew Jackson as he was a boy and his friends. They just couldn't understand how he became the famous general and then the president of the United States. It's something that they pondered in their minds constantly. They knew other men who had greater talent, but they never succeeded. One of Jackson's friends said this. He said, "While Jim Brown, who lived right down the pike from Jackson, was not only smarter, but he could throw Andy 3 times out of 4 in a wrestling match. But look where Andy is now." Another one of his friends said this. He said, "How did there happen to be a fourth time?" He said, "Didn't it usually 3 and you're out?" The fellow said, "Well, usually it's 3 you're out. You're supposed to." But he said, Andy said he would never admit that he was beat. He said he would never stay throwed. He said Jim Brown would get tired, and on the 4th try, Andrew Jackson would throw him and be the winner. Somebody said the thing that counts is not how many times you're throwed, but the thing that counts is how many times you're throwed, but you try again. For the Christian life's a battle. None of us get it right all the time. All of it. Listen, we need to understand we're going to mess up. We need to understand we're not always going to get it right. But the question this morning is not whether we fail, but whether we fail and get back up. Proverbs 24 and verse 16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." It's whether or not we get back up on the horse. It's whether or not we get back up and do all we can for the Lord today. You know what I've learned? So many people living in the past, they can't do anything about the future. There's nothing you can do to change what you did yesterday, but today, here and now. Lord, I'm making a commitment to you. As for me and my house, as of this day, we're going to serve the Lord. As of this day, Lord, today, I can't do anything about yesterday, but for today, moving forward, you say, well, preacher, we've made a commitment that our home was going to be this certain way. For the Lord, and we're going to have devotions, we're going to have godly music playing, and we're not going to scream and holler back and forth, or whatever the case, we made that commitment, but we've, you know what you can do? You can't change yesterday. But as of this day, our marriage is going to be what it ought to be. Our home's going to be what it ought to be. I've made a commitment, Lord, preacher, at the first of the year, I made a commitment, we're going to not miss a service. I had somebody tell me, literally, right at the first of the year, said, well, so we're gonna we just decide we're not missing church anymore. Every time I miss church, something bad happens. I ain't seen them in weeks. I'm saying you can commit, but be serious about it. Be serious about it. While we stand for prayer, I wonder if you have this contentment the Bible's talking about. There's a clear passage, an open secret right here to contentment. That open secret to contentment, resting in the Lord. It involves first being converted. You're never going to have rest until you get converted. If you're here this morning and you know in your heart you've never been saved. You know in your heart there's never been a time in your life that you've bowed your knee and said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize there's a penalty for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I also recognize that Christ paid that penalty. I want to accept His payment on the cross and ask God to forgive my sin and by faith trust Him as my Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, you ought to come do that this morning. God will save your soul. And you can be on the pathway to becoming a Christian. Now, it's done then. You're already a Christian, but becoming the Christian God wants you to be. Maybe somebody's here and you know in your heart you're not consumed. You know you can go through a day. You know the Lord's not the light of your life. Come and ask God to set your heart on fire again. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just not committed. That commitment's not there. You can miss church without even thinking about it. You can quit not reading your, you can not read your Bible without thinking about it. You can not go to God in prayer without even thinking about it. Whatever it is, while we sing this morning, God knows about it.